All right, open your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 21, please. Acts chapter 21. Acts chapter 21, and we'll begin reading in verse 37. For background on this text, and this is broad background, one of the more important texts for you to wrestle with, and by the way, I could preach it next Sunday morning, but that's not the point. You need to wrestle with it yourself, is this whole question of should Paul have gone to Jerusalem? Every single city Paul goes to, the Holy Spirit in one way or another told Paul, don't go to Jerusalem, and if you do, this is going to happen. Well, folks, guess what? He's gone to Jerusalem, and it's happened. So that's where we pick up the story. He has caused a firestorm in Jerusalem. Let's all stand, please. Chapter 21, verse 37. And as Paul was led into the castle, and please don't think of a medieval castle, okay? He said unto the chief captain, the King James says, that is a man that is in charge of 1,000 soldiers, a tribune. He says to the tribune, may I speak unto thee? Who said, just immediately, can you speak Greek? And then he asked, that tribune says, are not thou, and probably not in King James English, but are not thou that Egyptian, which before these days madest an uproar and leddest out many into the wilderness, 4,000 men that were murderers? And he actually uses a very, very specific Greek word for murderers. That word is going to become something huge. It's the word sicari. You say, what does that mean? 30 years later, those kinds of people are going to start the civil war between Israel or Jerusalem, Judea, and Rome. Because that word comes from the Latin word sicca. And these were murders in the sense that they went into a big crowd of people. And most people would either carry a spear or a sword. They carried a dagger, a sicca. And they would, in a big crowd where you're touching bodies, they would stab people, assassinate people, and then blend into the crowd and look, scream, and yell. And they started doing this, and they kept assassinating people. So he uses a very specific term found once in the Bible right here, a sicaron. An assassin, basically. We continue. Why do I know these things? I don't know. Verse 39. But Paul said, I am a man, which am a Jew of Tarsus, a city in Cilicia. That was a Roman province at the very bottom of Turkey as it bent back right at the bend, as it bent back towards Syria. A citizen of no mean city, and I beseech thee, suffer me to speak unto the people. And when he had given him license, permission, Paul stood on the stairs and beckoned with his hand unto the people. And when there was made a great silence, he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue, saying, and there's all kinds of debate whether he spoke unto them in Hebrew or its cousin language, Aramaic. My guess, Aramaic. But we couldn't tell the difference, and they're written the same. They're first cousins. They're very similar. It says, men, brethren, and fathers, hear you my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they'd heard that he spake unto them in the Hebrew tongue, they kept the more silence. And he saith, I am verily a man, which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia. And by the way, this gives you Paul's history in a nutshell. He was born in the diaspora, but he was brought up in Jerusalem. Born in Tarsus, brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers. That's Paul's testimony. Born in the diaspora, brought up in Jerusalem, taught to be a perfect Pharisee. And he goes on to say, and was zealous towards God, as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. And also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, and in this case elders means elders of the Jews, for whom I also received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass, as I made my journey, and was come nigh into Jerusalem about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me, and I fell into the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and were afraid. But they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. In other texts, this is repeated three times. It seemed like they heard the noise, but they couldn't understand what was happening. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise, go into Damascus, and there it shall be told of thee all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of the light, being led by a hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. And he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that that just one. By the way, Paul was the last person who saw the resurrected Christ. That's what made him unique. And shouldest hear the voice of his mouth, for thou shalt be witness unto me, unto all men, of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, why tarriest thou? Rise, be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. He said, Let's make this public, let's get this deal sealed, let's move forward. And it came to pass, when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. And I saw him saying unto me, Make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. By the way, where is he speaking at? You know people don't like, look at me folks, do you know people don't like public confrontation? People like sniveling. Christians too. They don't like to be confronted with their sin. Well, verse 19. And I said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned, that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr, Stephen, was shed, I also was standing by and consented unto his death. In the other place, is it Acts 26? There's a Greek phrase that means he cast his pebble. Look at me, folks. He actively voted to kill Stephen. He wasn't just there picking his nose. He actively voted. Do you think that would stick on your conscience for a while? He says, And I kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And they gave him audience until this word. And then lifted up their voices and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. By the way, they loved their religion. But the moment you mention somebody else from a different ethnicity, kill this guy. He does not deserve to live. You got to hear a little bit of Paul's testimony. Tonight I'm going to preach a very simple sermon. Most of you know I've been dealing with disciplines of grace. We started about being in the book. We moved to on your knees, the subject of prayer. For 3 or 4 weeks we dealt with the subject of with the body. Now we're going to move to the final part, which will be 2 or 3 messages in the world. Tonight, in this room, we have enough people to start impacting the world. And it's all going to come down to is what I titled this, The Stories We Tell. Do you like stories? Do you like stories? Does everybody like stories? I think not everybody likes everybody else's stories, but everybody likes stories. Is that correct? There's something about human. I don't know if it's an absolute human trait, But I have never found an exception. People like stories. Tonight I could spend all night telling stories people in this church have told me. I could start with Mr. Smith. One of my favorite stories was he's in the Aleutian Islands in the middle of World War II. Officer comes, he has them all line up. They're flying some old kind of fighter plane. They're junk. And they say, we have some brand new P-38 Lightnings. He says, how many of you have had instructions in the P-38 Lightning? The answer was none of them. He wanted like 100 hours or something. And the guy, you know, nobody had it. And finally they got the hint. Would you believe that all those guys stood forward? They flew the old planes down to the mainland from the Aleutian chain all the way down Canada to the mainland. Do you all know the story? Having never set foot in a P-38 Lightning, he got the manual, got in the P-38 Lightning, and flew it back to the Aleutians. Oh, by the way, some of the guys didn't make it. Never been in a plane. Those are different kind of men, aren't they? I like stories. Do you? Now, I'm going to tell some stories about some of you tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. May this be a profitable night as I try to just share some very simple ideas about the stories we tell, how we reach people for Christ. Bless our time in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, this tonight is so simple, it's embarrassingly simple. I do not have notes, so if Frenchie gets out of order, he'll have to get out of order tonight. There seems to be a universal truth among humans, not just Christians. We like stories. We all like stories. Most of us like to tell stories, and all of us like certain stories. And I want to confess to you that I am not a nice person. Cliffy, every time somebody new comes, and we're out to eat someplace, Cliff already knows what I'm going to do, don't you, Cliff? I'm going to look over and say, Cliff, tell us about how you and Judy met. Do you all know the story? I'm not very good at the story. It gets better is what it does. I think the story is like this. Cliff was from the Isle of Negros. He's a Visaya speaker. He's a Cebuano speaker. Judy is from the island of Cebu, which they're both long islands, and they're kind of long and skinny islands, and they're beside each other, not too far apart. Cebu is where the sophisticated people live. Negros is where the hillbillies live. Is that correct, Judah? Go ahead, Judah. Say amen, sister. Say amen. So here's the story, friend. Somehow there's a wedding in Dumaguete where Cliffy is from, and Judy, are you a relative of this person? His sister's wedding, and somehow they know each other. Judy goes there, and Cliff, he sees Judy, but he has nothing to offer her. He has neither job. Wait a minute. He doesn't even have enough money to take her on a real date. I mean, he does take her out to eat, and he doesn't have enough money to buy her a soda, so he buys one soda for both of them with two straws. Hey, listen, hold on. That is so sweet. Now, I'm not going to tell you the rest of the story, but you know what? I love to hear that story. Why? We all love to hear those stories. My mom and dad always would tell, dad would tell the story and mom would be embarrassed. You get embarrassed too, don't you, Judy? Dad would tell the story. He met my mother in June 30th, I think exactly was the date, 1949, my dad came home from World War II. Don't ask me why he did this. And for 15 minutes, he bought a restaurant in a huge town. This town is so big that there's more people in this room than ever lived in that town. But back in those days, little country towns, people would go there and, you know, for dining. Mom, somehow, she's working for a lady in the big town of Eldridge. Eldred. She's working for a lady. She wanders into that restaurant. Huge mistake. Dad set his eyes on my mother. Enough of the story. There's other good stories. Have you ever heard how Dada and Pandak Dak Dak started dating? Come on, put the sheet up higher. Folks, I don't know the whole story. I'm just going to tell you the part that I don't even know if what I'm going to tell you is true, but it's true for me, okay? For my understanding, Pondok noticed this guy that was very quiet, very pogi. He had hair in those days. He looked very lonely, and she noticed that he could not dance. So from my understanding, that was the beginning of the romance. Is that about correct, Pondok? Come on, tell me amen, sister. Now, I want to ask you a question. By the way, there's a piece of my truth that was true, correct? At least a little piece. Hey, I like the story. I don't care if it's true or not. How did you meet your spouse? Where did you get married? What happened when you got married? I can go on and on. Mr. Losey told the best stories. Mr. Losey loved to tell stories of a drunk in his hometown. Now, I've been to Mr. Losey's, one of the towns he lived in, Cherry. Jenny and I have been there. We've been to a couple of those towns are this big. In one of the towns he lived in, this is the whole town. You drove in and you took a left, and the town was along the road. And at the end of the town, you took a right. So, you didn't really have a lot of roads. You just did this, this, and this. Well, the old drunk got drunk one night. Do you guys ever hear Mr. Losey tell this story? He drove into town, and it was in the morning. I think it was like a Saturday morning. He was so drunk from drinking all night or whatever that he drove to the end of the road, and the road, then you had to go directly right. If you went left, there was a barn. So the guy drives to the end of the road. He takes a left at a high speed. He drives all the way through the barn. When the police arrest him, this is what he says. I was in this town yesterday, and there was a left turn here. I know there was. Can I ask you a question? Do we like stories, yes or no? Here is our sermon tonight. When we're in the world, the stories we tell is how you actually communicate the gospel. There are three stories. And by the way, they're all three essential stories. You cannot choose one or the other. The one is obviously the most important. I think this is in your notes. I could tell more stories, but we better hurry up. Our greatest tools in the world, meaning when we're talking to people that are unsaved, are the stories we tell. I say in your notes, there are three stories. There are three connected stories. There are three stories that cannot, in my way, be ignored. When you grasp these three stories, it is the way you have an in with unsaved people. And there is a central story. That's the story, of course, of the gospel of Christ. And then there are two illustrative, meaning they shine light on the central story. So what are those stories? Number one, the power of your personal story. And friend, this is what Paul did. You have Acts chapter 9, you have Acts chapter 22, you have Acts chapter 26. We have long sections of Paul telling his story. And those stories are powerful because they attest to what God has done in my life. Hey, look at me. This is not a story. Walking up to somebody and telling them how long it took you to get from point A to point B, talking about your money or your lack of money or your feet or your back, what gets people's attention is the stories you tell. The first one is your personal story. I'm going to give all this to you quickly. How do we begin? I would say this. All Christians have a story. There are no exceptions. We have a before and an after. Everybody does. And may I say this, so for all of you, we learned about John Newton about a month ago. Is that right? We learned something if you were listening. John Newton certainly had a before, but the strange part is, even after he got saved, it wasn't so good. And there was a long time he still lived pretty wickedly as a believer. That's part of the story. By the way, do not lie to people. They read lies. Your story has a before and an after. Before Christ, after Christ. These all say the same thing. There is an unsaved and then there is a saved. And this is for all of the young people and the not so young people. I enjoy watching our young people. Cliff, it was beautiful today to see our young people up here. It's a beautiful thing. We have a lot of good young people. A lot of them are at college. twins are at college, Carly's at college, Brenna's at college, Josh is at college, Luke is at college, and we probably have others at college. Young people, this was 100% for you, the next two statements. And I want you to understand the difference, because I would prefer you to have the second story, not the first one. In your notes, it's what you were, and this is what Paul focused on, what he was. Paul focused on the fact that he had killed people. Yes or no? He had chased Christians down. So it's what you were, and it's what you are because of Christ. That's one. But by the way, young men, young ladies, I see these three lovely young ladies right here. Young ladies, I don't want you to have that story. I think if you get saved at a young age, you don't have to have that story that I was a drunk, I was a drugger, I was this, I was that, I did this. You don't have to have that at all. You can have this story. What you could have been. And then what you are because of Christ. I actually think Christ would prefer you never to go down that rabbit hole. Can I have an amen? You don't have to. By the way, I used to hear, my wife had this problem for years too. We've talked about this through the years. She got saved as a young girl. I got saved as a young man. Now, I lived a rough life. She didn't. I know she has sinned, but not in any kind of ugly ways. You know, there's four or five ladies in our church that I'm assuming they have sinned, but I don't know when. Now, I'm not being funny. Her testimony is more valuable than the person that lived like a pig and then got saved, because she never lived like a pig. God kept her from that altogether. So what you could have gone down those roads, but God saved me, he kept me, he protected me, he led me down the right path, and it's all because of Christ. It's just as valuable as the person that comes up and tells the horrible stories. We like those stories. I was a drunk and God saved me. Okay, I would rather this. I was never a drunk and God kept me. That's the story I like. And may I say this to all of you, that's just as great a story as the story of the most sinful person, because it's still the power of God. That's the point. How about this? Before I was saved, there was fear, now there is peace. Before I was saved, there was doubt, now there's hope. Before I was saved, there was unhappiness, and now there's joy. Before I was saved, it was hell, and now it's heaven. There is a bunch of verses in your notes. For time, we're not going to read them. Please look at me, everybody. All they do is Paul tells his story. Can I ask you a question? You think Peter had a story? How do we know? You find it in the Gospels. Where do you think those stories come from? From the sky? Peter making a fool of himself. I guarantee you. You know, I don't know how you met. Someday tonight you're going to tell me the truth and I'm going to write it all down. I don't know everything about your first love. Here. I only know since she has rubbed his head so much he has no hair anymore. But listen, none of us in this room killed anybody. None of us in this room persecuted Christians. That's not something you want to repeat. But we have a story. Yes or no? We have a story. All right, number two. Second concept in the story. And I'm skipping a little bit. Is the power of the gospel story. So friends, we have three stories. There's the power of your personal story, which is going to feed into the gospel story. The gospel story is the center story. The gospel is always center. We can never get too far from this great story. The New Testament bleeds the story every page. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Friends, this is not some religious verse. You're going to meet people after people after people that have been abandoned, who do not think anyone loves them. To communicate the love of God to a person is a story they need to hear. This is what we preach. You say, you don't have to preach it like I'm preaching. You're to euangelizomai. You are to share the gospel. Keruso, which is what I do, to proclaim the gospel, is a separate issue. Well, this all through the Bible. Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Friends, with age, Acts 13:38 and 39 has grown on me. As a young man, it would not have been my verse, but it has grown on me. When Paul, speaking to the synagogue, says this, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." I'm not going to preach the text. Everyone look at me. Just remember this. All the people you meet are guilty. Hear me. I said they are guilty. Which is different than they feel guilty. They are guilty before God. And eventually, when they stop being busy, and they stop the booze, and they stop the pot, and they stop all the things that they do, and they get off their phone, sooner or later, those people, the guilt comes up. We have a story to tell. We know somebody that through him, every single person can be forgiven of all sins. We have that story. Romans 1. I love this. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God." It's the power of God, meaning everyone. It can save anyone. "It's the power of God into salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Revelation 22:17 says, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Matthew 11:28, one of my favorite texts. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you" what? I want to ask you a question. How many people have insomnia? Do you know, if you start listening, do you ever listen to people? Most of the people that we're lusting after their lives cannot sleep. Well, of course not. They're scared to death of COVID. They're scared to death of death. They're scared of everything. Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Yes, friend, it's the gospel. I'll give you these bullet points very quickly, but do me a favor. These are stories. These are not bullet points to be written down. You see, if you're going to witness to somebody, share your personal story and bring them into the story where they need to, what they need to hear. And I don't know what people need to hear. People are different. Thoughts. The gospel is the good news. That's what the Greek word euangelion means. It just means good news. The gospel is the good news, and I'm going to list many things. It's the good news of the love of God. This morning, Bugsy said this. My wife heard it. Bugsy lost a sister-in-law that was married to his brother. I don't know the whole story. That lady is the same age as Bugsy, 42. She died in Belize. They don't know if it was COVID or something else. You know, who knows? That's not the worst part. They have two children. And that's not the worst part. The worst part is the father, Bugsy's brother, had abandoned the family and disappeared years ago. So now we have children, look at me in the eyes, with no mother and no father. They're on their own. Do you think they need to hear about the love of God? Well, there's so many words that we could use. It's good news about the power of God. It's good news about forgiveness of sin, our sins. It's good news about the grace of God. It's good news about the mercy of God. It's good news about the sovereignty of God. And let me say, it could just be good news about the peace of God. Friends, you know what's sad? It bothers me. So somebody drives a better car than you and you're afraid to talk to them. Why? Do you think money gives you peace with God? Look at me. Do you think money gives a person peace with God? Of course not. Here's the funniest thing, and I've never understood it. People are scared to death of doctors. Why? They have just as many problems as everybody else. They have no clue, 99% of them, about anything we're talking about. I always found them the easiest people to talk to. You say that you're weird. I am weird because I don't have fear in those areas. You say why? They just have more stuff. Does more stuff give you peace with God? Well, we'll look at the last concept for this evening. These three stories, if you look up here for one moment, do this. They dovetail. When I talk to people, you always want to include some of your personal story. Sooner or later, you want to talk somehow about before Christ, after Christ. You want to talk something about what Christ either saved you out of or protected you from. You want to discuss those things. You want to discuss the gospel story. And friend, the gospel story has many layers. How about this? Adoption. What about a child that has no mom or dad? You could bring right in the concept of what? God sent his son, and through his son, you can be adopted into the family of God and be an heir of God through Christ. And you bring the two stories together. The third story is what I call anyhow this, the power of your ongoing story. If there's an area that Christians struggle with, this is it. Christians can talk about when they got saved. Some Christians can talk about the gospel. But what God has done for them in the last 30 years, they don't have much to say. And look at me, friend, that is just not Christian. I'm going to say this. I know we have people that are connected to this church that are saved. They will tell you and swear on a stack of Bibles why they just got drunk so bad last night they can't even stand up today. I'm done with that foolishness. Proverbs 4, I think, says it clearly. But the path of the just is as what? A shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is not so. They know not at what they stumble. I grew up in an environment where one's testimony was very important. I have never been able to convey it to this church in my 25 years. But unfortunately, where I grew up, the testimony was twisted. So I want to continue that. We were constantly taught that our testimony was important, and everything they said was true as far as it went. But they never went very far. A testimony to my family, my brother specifically, was this. It's always negative. It's what we don't do, and it's rarely positive. So it basically consisted of this. Jamie, this would be the same in your world. Your testimony consisted of this. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't gamble. I don't chew, those kind of things. In Baptist, where I'm from, you didn't dance. So I never had to worry about whether I could dance because I couldn't dance anyhow. Now, do you think I'm being funny, don't you? I go down, Jenny. I take my mom's brothers and one sister out to eat. We go to a place called the Brass Door in Carrollton, Illinois. The place is a restaurant. It's not only a restaurant, it's a phenomenon, but it's not like it's a family-style restaurant. And we always go there on a Tuesday night or a Thursday night. They have pork chops. Whew. Battered pork chops. I'm getting hungry. All you can eat. All kinds of food you should never eat. It's all there. I want you to hear me. Are you listening from here, Cliffy, to these folks? Everybody hearing me? My brother will never, ever, ever go to that restaurant. They serve alcohol. But that's not the problem. My brother thinks his testimony is not drinking or being around drinking. He doesn't think it has anything to do with what kind of a father he was. His testimony is about three or four issues. I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't chew, and I bring my bottom and put it in a chair and sleep. That's not an ongoing testimony to the grace of God. And I'll tell you what, he has never seen people saved, and you know why? The same reason some of us haven't. We don't have anything to tell anybody. What has the living God done in your life after salvation? I quit smoking? Really? Do you know very few people of the middle class and above smoke today? So to not smoke is a big zero. All right. Some of you, I haven't woken you up yet. And nobody's going to like because I have watched. Do you know why he's good with youth? He's interesting. Do you know why other people aren't? They're boring. They don't have a life. And when you don't have a life, no one's interested. And friend, the stories you tell are the stories about your life, and people pick up on it in seconds. They ask this question, would I want to be like that person that looks like they drink dill pickle juice? Here, you want some pickle juice? In your notes, your ongoing story that impacts people are things like this. And by the way, Cassie told me this today. Cassie was being bad. I only have 3 minutes, so I'm not going to tell you what she said. She's very bad, very bad. She comes by it honestly from Nancy. But folks, here it is. You work a job. This is what people look at. Do you love your spouse? Here's what they look at. You're not a gossip or a critic. You know how many Bible Billy Baptists I have seen that never drink, smoke, chew, or gamble, or dance, who are gossips constantly? Do you know people at work notice your garbage? How about this? You love your children, and if you're really weird, they love you. Folks, you say, I want to have a testimony. Now listen, if you work here, we expect you to love your children, and your children love you. Do you realize the number one conversation? There's only two conversations I ever heard when I worked in the hospital. How worthless my spouse was and how bad my kids were. Do you know if the God of the universe transforms you into a father, males, you know what a father is? Someone who's actually a father or a grandfather. People are shocked because they're not interested in you don't drink. Actually, most people think you're retarded because you don't drink. But they can't figure out, why does he like his kids? And his kids like him. At this time, there are a few people I'd rather be around more than my children. Both of them are interesting. Both of them are accomplished. Both of them are smart. And I like to hang around them. And if you don't like that, you're in the wrong place. How about this? You love your family. How about this? And I don't know how it's stated in your notes. You have interest. You know what it means by interest? You're interested in something other than yourself. You have accomplishments. People will notice that you have accomplishments. They're going to notice. I mean, people are always impacted by seeing a person that's not. By the way, most people's chief purpose in life is to do as little as possible, but still be promoted. All of a sudden, you come to the scene and you have accomplishments and you're moving forward. That's the ongoing testimony. It's like, man, this Christianity must be something different than just going to church and drinking dill pickle juice. Your passions. It was really funny. I know that Brennan was in there Thursday. Daniel, not Nunga, the other guy. I don't know, he said something about me, and he said, you're very passionate. And I'm thinking, no, I'm low-key. By the way, there's nothing worse than being around a boring person. Nothing. Well, how about this? You're interested in them. Imagine that. I think I have positive in there, too. Here's another thing. You're a good listener. How many people like someone who can listen to them? Are you a good listener? Answer the question. Are you a good listener? Nobody wants to answer. Are you a good listener? Thank you, Rhonda. That's better than saying, by the way, there's some people I don't think have ever listened to anybody. I don't think they know anything happens. By the way, it's very disarming when you work at a place or whoever you're around and you're out in the world and you actually listen to people. What? How about this? You're thoughtful. You're helpful. You're hospitable. And I have the word properly, I think, in parentheses. You're properly interested. not in a creepy way, but you're properly interested in people. Pastor Kowak knows me pretty well. Is that correct? I'm not quite as crazy as Cliff Gavalis. Nobody is in that I have met in that planet yet. We went to Zogos. Did I ask the lady that waited on us to see pictures of her children? Why? Because I'm genuinely interested in her. Hey, would you look at me? Forget your little notes. We're talking about your ongoing story. Are you interested in people? How in the world do you think anybody's ever going to get saved when you're not interested in anybody? And people are going to pick up real quick, are they interested in me? Or do they just want to talk about themselves? I've said this for 25 years. We've had men in this church to this day that they cannot do anything except talk about themselves. That's all they know. And if they ask questions, they're creepy. We've been going to Zogos for how long? Long time? And when we go there, are we nice to the ladies? Yes. We treat them well? Yes. Do we pray? Yes. All those things are good. But you're not going very far with the person until they find out maybe. And by the way, I'm not trying to get her saved in one sense. Yeah, I'd like to talk to her. I'm actually want her to know that Christians might be interesting and interesting people and interested in her. Let's stand. I said I'd be done by 7. It was close. I have a story that we'll just tell another time. Everybody look at me. As you put your papers away, you now leave the church building. Yes or no? When you leave the church building, where are you then? Where are you? When you're in the world, you have three stories. Your personal story of salvation, the gospel story, and the ongoing things of what God has done in your life. Friends, that's it. Now, what I want you to do, come on up. Let's watch these folks come up because it's very interesting how they walk up. I want you to leave here and tell your stories. I didn't say talk about yourself. Actually, I would prefer you never talked about yourself. I'm talking about tell your stories of God, Christ, and how he saved you and how he's changed you. Those are your two stories. Father, bless our time tonight. Thank you for this meeting. May this be a beginning. We like stories. We all know that we do. Help us to start telling those stories. The stories of the love of God manifest in our lives, the before and the after. Our conversion story, the changing of a life and the transforming of a life, and the beautiful gospel. May it be so. In Christ's name, amen.